As I said, we have come to the final sermon in our series here in the book of Philippians. So if you would please join me, chapter 4, verses 21 through 23, and you see it there on the projection before you. Hear the infallible, inerrant, inspired word of our living God. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. I do pray that the Lord would add his blessings to the reading of this most holy word. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, God said, "It is not good that man should be alone." We are, as I've already emphasized to you, are a relational people. We are not meant to be alone. We are meant to be in fellowship with one another. This is the way we're created. And this is true because we are made in the image of the triune God. And in the triune God, we see that perfect relationship. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That perfect relationship, that perfect fellowship. And so by us being made in that image, we take on that aspect of that perfect relationship. We are made to be relational. We are made to be in fellowship. And so God, knowing that we need that relationship, he created it. He created it as a part of us, but then he created it by another means as well. And he did that on Pentecost Sunday, 2,000 years ago. With the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, he created on that day a new fellowship in this earth like the earth had never seen before. Yes, we have the Old Testament families and we have the Old Testament gathering of the prophets and the people of God, etc. But on Pentecost Sunday, when the Holy Spirit came down, it then bound us together as a family of God. You've heard the phrase, the word probably, koinonia is the Greek word which means the family of God. And so that is who we are. And being that family created in the image of God, we are meant to be in fellowship. We are meant to be that forever family. And so the family of God includes all of those who acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord. As I said, those of you who are seated here, but our brothers and sisters in Africa, in Pakistan, in China, wherever it might be, anyone who acknowledges Jesus Christ as Lord is a part of that koinonia, is a part of that fellowship. And everyone in that family bears the same name, Christian. Tim Christian, Kelly Christian, Carol Christian. We all have the same last name. We all have the same name because we are part of the same family. We are one family called the Fellowship of the Saints. And I do pray that you realize how blessed you are, how blessed I am to be in a family such as this. The old familiar hymn states, "Blessed be the ties that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is to like that above." And so it is clear that we are to be a family. It's clear in the biblical writings that Christianity is thoroughly to be relational. The great commandment that we're given. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. We are to be in relationship with God first. But then Matthew goes on and says the second one is just like it. And he said, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Relationships. Relational. Fellowship. That's who we're supposed to be. That's what we yearn for. It is of paramount importance to God. And so it should be to us as well. And so here as Paul closes out this letter, He's giving the final greetings. And we might pass over these verses quickly. I mean, what is he teaching us here? Greet every saint, the brothers with me. You know, we might jump over those and say, okay, Paul's closing out his letter, move on to Colossians. But no, these are just as important to us as that incredible teaching in chapter 2 of the humility of Jesus Christ. And his point here is, in this teaching, it is vital that we be committed to the fellowship of the saints, to the relationships we have in the church. And in these few verses, there's only three, but I found six nuggets I'd like to bring out to you, kind of taking these verses apart. First of all, the fellowship of the saints is a fellowship where every person matters. As I said in Sunday school, what we want is to be loved. But we also want to feel like we matter. We mean something to someone. It's important that I be respected and honored and seen as valuable and vital to you, to us, to the people around us. And so here Paul says, greet every saint. Notice that word every. It's very key. Now, in the NIV translation, it actually mistranslates it. It says greet all of the saints. Now you might say, Tim, what's the difference? Well, I could stand here and go, hey, saints, all of you. I would not be speaking to any one of you individually. Paul says, greet every saint in the Lord. Greet every saint. Why? Because everyone is important and matters. He wants to greet the church leaders. He wants to greet the women. He wants to greet the slaves. He wants to greet the servants. Whoever's made up in the local church, every single person matters. And so he says, greet every saint. And don't do it by a general broadcasting. Greet every saint. The instant you trust Jesus Christ as Lord, he brings you into this family, and he makes you brother or sister to every Christian, past, present, and future. Do you realize that you're Moses' brother or sister? Elijah, big brother. Jesus. Each one of us, when the Holy Spirit comes in, places us in this living organism we know as a church, but we are a church of individuals who matter. And so Paul says, greet every saint. Secondly, the fellowship of the saints is a holy fellowship. It's a holy fellowship. Paul says, greet every saint. This means to be set apart from the world. It means to be holy, to be sacred. Now, I know if you're like me, you don't feel much like a saint. Well, I'm sorry, it ain't up to you. It's not up to you. Every believer in Jesus Christ is a saint, and this has nothing to do with how I act, has nothing to do with what I might say. We tend to think of saints as those who live a pious, overt religious life and are given a certain level of sainthood. Well, that's because the Catholic Church has influenced our thinking so much by acknowledging certain individuals as saints. Well, it's the same philosophy, but what they're saying is this person is better than you. And that's not true. That's not true. You become a saint the moment the Holy Spirit came in you and set you apart from the world. And so here Paul says, greet every saint. Paul even addressed the Corinthians as saints. You may not remember his relationship with the Corinthians, but it wasn't really good. They tried to kill him. But when he wrote back to them, he said, the saints. If the Corinthians can be saints, everybody in this room can. And again, it's not up to us. It's what Jesus has done for us in salvation, made us saints. And it's important that we see ourselves as saints. Again, not because of behavior, not because of actions, but because our salvation has set us apart from the world. You've heard the saying, we are to be in the world, but not of the world. And too much of the church today is trying to be like the world. So, in their thinking, the world would meet more easily accept us. No. We're supposed to look weird and sound weird to the people who are not believers. I'm not going to dumb down our faith just so I can get more folks in the door. I remember a conversation I had one time when I first got here, and we were talking about attendance, and I said, give me 2 months and I can have 500 people in this room. Just don't teach the gospel. Make it fun. Make it exciting. Get rid of the pulpit. Get some lights. Start calling this a stage. But that's not church. That's not church. We are to be different from the world. What did Peter call us? Peculiar. Peculiar means odd. And so we're saints, set apart to look different, to act different, to talk different, I hope. Third, and he emphasizes this idea of sainthood by saying, greet every saint in Christ Jesus. How many times has Paul used that phrase, being in Christ Jesus? He was consumed with that statement and the idea and the teaching behind that's all wrapped up at being in Christ Jesus. Again, that's what makes us saints. So when I greet you, I'm greeting you in the name of Jesus Christ. I am your brother, I am your sister, you are my sister, etc., in Jesus Christ. That's what makes us a family. That's what pulls us together. And so his righteousness imputed to us, placed within us when we believe, and we are given and placed in him. As I said last week, we are seated in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus right now. Because he's there, and he died for me. The salvation he has given me has now placed the Holy Spirit in me. And so I, being a part of the family in him, are now seated in heaven. Yesterday, Judy and I attended the funeral of my cousin's wife. And that was the phrase they kept repeating. That she is in heaven. She's taken her first breath in heaven. And I thought to myself, well, that's true, but she went to heaven when she accepted Jesus Christ. And so please, it's important that we know that about ourselves. We're just sojourners on this journey here in this awful place. And I hope we're getting closer to the end. We were told that some lady there was 97. Judy looked at my mother and said, I don't want to get that old. I'm ready. Let's go. In Christ Jesus, we are set apart. We are saints. And this, as I've said, is over and over and over. Paul says this. So we are in Christ. Fourthly, the fellowship of the saints is to be a supportive fellowship. Notice the statement here. He says, the brothers who are with me greet you. Now, remember where Paul is. Paul's in prison. Now, he's in house prison, and so he has, they did have access to him. So Timothy and Epaphroditus, they would bring gifts, they would bring things to him to help take care of him, but they were there supporting him. That's what being brothers and sisters is about. Supporting, caring, loving, etc. As brothers and sisters in Christ, we are bound together as one body. I've said many times, my mom, I refer to her as my sister because she will always be my sister in Christ. One day she will cease being my mother, but she will always be my sister because we are one family. And as a family, to me, now please hear me the way I say this. I know family is important to us. The biological families are important. But for me, the Christian family is more important than the biological family. because the biological family will cease. And when we get to heaven, we're all brothers and sisters. We're all brothers and sisters right here now. Now, am I to love my mom and dad? Absolutely. I've spoke of that already. My brothers and sisters biologically? Yes, absolutely. But in eternity, we will be brothers and sisters for all eternity. Fifth, the fellowship of the saints is a very diverse group. Look with me at verse 22. And this may shock some of you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. Why did God allow Peter, Paul, others to go to prison? There's somebody there that needed to hear the gospel. There were saints, believers in Jesus Christ, in Caesar's palace. Now, we don't know if this was Caesar's family. We don't know if these were servants under Caesar or a part of the Roman guard. We feel pretty comfortable about the Roman guard because they're actually there chained to Paul. And so, can you imagine how many times that guard heard the gospel? Continuously. Paul, would you shut up? I'm in. But please know this. Being in Caesar's household was a very risky place to identify yourself as a Christian. Very. The emperor, when Paul wrote this book, Philippians, was that wicked man, Nero. Nero had come to the throne at 17 after his mother had poisoned her third husband. 5 years later, Nero killed his mother because in his mind she was too pushy. 3 years after that, he had his own wife killed so that he could go marry another man's wife. Being with that kind of depravity going on, being in Caesar's court would have been a really risky place. But yet, I acknowledge myself as Christian. When the library in Rome burned, he blamed the Christians and then began burning them outside his lampposts. And so being in Rome, in Caesar's household, and identifying as Christians is risky. But the point of it is the diversity of our faith. The diversity of our faith. We all sort of look alike in here. You'll be amazed at the mosaic of God's people. Rich, poor, young, old, white, black, all one race, all one people. And then finally, the fellowship of the saints is a grace-oriented fellowship. A grace-oriented fellowship. Verse 23, Paul says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you and your spirit." We understand grace, it's God's unmerited favor for those of us who deserve judgment, but yet it has been withheld. But without the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we could not even receive the gospel. Because none of us have done anything to earn it or deserve it. If God did not first extend his grace to you, that's it. That's what we pray for this young man here, that grace would be extended to him. And we hear that testimony where he knows Jesus Christ as Lord. And as we live our lives, we grow in this holiness, we grow in this sanctification, and we need God's grace. Martin Luther said, we need to hear the gospel, but we need to hear it every day, because we need it every day. And then his grace leads us, I pray his grace leads us to more and more deny the sin of our lives, and more look like Jesus Christ. We stand daily, constantly in the need of Jesus Christ. So, the fellowship of the saints. It's vital. It's written in the Bible, so that makes it just as important, as I said over in chapter 2, when we learn of the humility of Jesus Christ. Awesome theological teaching. So is this right here. That's why last summer and fall that we could not meet as a church or met in various ways as a church the best we could was so hard. It was so challenging because we want to be right here. Because we're meant to be relational. We're meant to be in fellowship. We're meant to be with one another. Now, as we close out this book, remember, the whole emphasis of the book is to come to know God's joy in all circumstances, no matter where we find ourselves. We will know joy by knowing the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ through the gospel, so we grow in our fellowship with him. We will know joy, as Paul taught us here, by taking attention off ourselves and caring for those in the body of Christ. We will know the joy of our Lord Jesus Christ by continuously bearing witness to this gospel message, wherever we might find ourselves, so that we do all of this so we can enter the same joy of fellowship that God has, and we do this with the brothers and sisters, the fellowship of the saints. Why is church so vital? Why is coming, being a part of the church, so vital? Because that's the way God made you. He made you to be in relationship. He made you to be religious. He made you to be drawn to himself. And so coming here, we come as close as we can. Paul writes in two different places that we are to encourage one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Encouraging one another, helping one another, loving one another. That's part of what it means to be the church. The fellowship of the saints. We are the bride of Christ. We are the family. As I've told you, growing up in the church I did, everybody referred to everybody as brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so. Everybody did it. In a Reformed church, we don't do that so much. Maybe we can start that, Brother David. Amen. Amen.